Do you think that because we live in the U.S., we live longer and healthier lives than people in other places? Well, a new study calls that a myth. First, it says there really is no monolithic America. Reporting in the current issue of the Public Library of Science Medicine, researchers found that instead of one nation, when it comes to longevity, we really are eight Americas, eight different little countries, and the gap between the highest and the lowest groups looks a lot like the gap between the most and least developed countries. And where you fall on the life expectancy scale, how long you're expected or predicted to live, is determined largely by your race and where you call home. For example, Asian women, especially in Bergen County, New Jersey, can expect to live 20 years longer than urban black males. So we're going to start the hour today talking with one of the researchers about the study and what it says about how well we're doing getting public health programs to the people who need them the most. And if you'd like to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And as always, you're invited over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Majid Azadi is the Associate Professor of International Health at the Harvard School of Public Health in Boston. He joins me today from his office. Welcome to the program, Dr. Azadi.
It's great to be with NPR. Thanks.
You're welcome. We do typically think of U.S. life expectancy as being higher than in most places in the world, and your study suggests that it's really more complicated than that.
Sure. U.S. life expectancy is indeed higher than most places in the world, but as you mentioned, there are large differences in the U.S. And I think, you know, what comes out of this study is that these large differences, which arguably one could expect in some other places, that, you know, people vary for a variety of reasons, are actually very, very systematic. They are actually organized along lines of geography, race, and other socio-demographic factors.
Can you go through us, trip through us, those eight different countries that we have and where the highs and lows are?
Sure. I'm going to go through them, and I guess I won't do them in order for reasons that will become clear in a moment. So we had what we called America One, which is Asians, and these are primarily Asians that are not from Pacific Islands. So they are from, you know, East Asia, places like Japan, Thailand, China, and so on, and have migrated to the U.S. first or second generations. Then we have three groups of whites, and one of them we call, I guess, Northland low-income rural whites. These are people who sort of live in the northern plains and in the Dakotas, and mainly rural, and not very, you know, wealthy populations necessarily. We have whites that live in Appalachia, again, mainly rural, low-income, so sort of somewhat similar to the other group, but live in a different part of the country. And then all other whites and the rest of Asians, mainly Pacific Islanders, are in, you know, this very large group of people, over 200 million, that we call Middle America. Then we have Native Americans that live on or near reservations. That's a sort of a group on and off of its own. The smallest one, about a million. All of the other groups are at least sort of about, you know, 3.5-4 million, up to over 200 million for Middle America. Then we have three groups of African Americans. Those that live in the South, generally low-income and in rural areas. We have blacks that live in cities and in sort of cities that are high-risk, so a fair amount of crime. And then the rest of African-American population is called what we call black Middle America.
Mm-hmm. And how do these groups do in terms of life expectancy?
Well, the group
who's best off, who's worst?
The group that stands out as by far the best off is the Asians. So Asians in the U.S. are living life expectancies that are actually better than Japan, the country with the highest life expectancy in the world as a whole. Asians in the U.S., Asian females live over 87 years on average, and men over 82 years. And again, these numbers are actually better than the country of Japan taken as a whole. The worst off are two groups of African Americans. For men, it's the group that lives in, again, large cities and high crime large cities. So you can think of this as the sort of inner city community. They are at, just under 67 years. And for women, it's blacks in the South, in rural South, in the Mississippi Delta and the Deep South.
And you're saying that the violence is the reason that these young men are dying?
Actually, actually violence is not the reason that they are. Violence is one of the reasons, mm-hmm. but it doesn't explain the whole picture. So you know, that's one of the perceptions that has happened that
right.
we have had, which is that violence and HIV/AIDS are you know, the key two reasons for large mortality among fairly young black men in cities. It turns out that these numbers persist and this pattern persists even after we take away those two diseases. So if you say that, you know, what would they look like if those two diseases didn't exist, they still would come off as the worst off group.
Do we know why that is?
Well, yeah. So there are sort of two connected reasons. One is that a lot of their deaths are happening at relatively young ages. So young and middle-aged adults are the ones that are dying the most, and that's where the differences are largest. So they are dying earlier than other parts of the population. And then it's the type of disease that is killing them. It's injuries, and mainly unintentional injuries. So road traffic injuries, violence is a part of the picture. And a number of chronic diseases, things like heart disease, like diabetes, like liver disease, which, you know, we should know. We know how to prevent this pretty well. So that's sort of where the bulk of the story is.
And the other people, is health care an issue that figures into life expectancy?
Well, health care does play a role in life expectancy. I think that's a certain issue. And what turns out to be the case is that the differences between these large groups is really not explained by their access to health care. So, mm-hmm. so there are some differences in health insurance and the number of times that they have had contacts with physicians. We couldn't actually, using the existing data, look at the quality of care that they receive, which probably is also a factor. But the differences in their mortality, in their death rates, is substantially larger than we would expect from their, you know, basic health mm-hmm. insurance and healthcare access only.
So it's again
come back to the type of diseases that they are dying yeah. from. These are things that should lend themselves to prevention far before they get to healthcare.
Mm-hmm. So what is the greatest predictor, or what would, you know, statistics aside, when you look at these, what do you see as the greatest predictor of your longevity?
Well, I should emphasize that predictor doesn't mean what causes it. So it turns out that race is an important predictor, but far beyond race, and or together with race, and possibly in some cases, you know, larger than that, is where the person is living, and then also there is sort of, you know, the income of the community in which they are living. But the geography comes into play as an important factor. So take, for example, the two groups of whites that I mentioned. The two rural groups, both of them low income, so same race, not a lot of difference in their income levels, but one of them living in the Northland and in the Northern Plains is mm-hmm. living, you know, a few years longer on average than those living in Appalachia. So you know, again, the story seems to go beyond their race and their income.
Were you able to study whether if these people move from one place to another, then their mortality changes?
I mean, that's actually exactly what I said, that place isn't sort of a causal relationship. Mm-hmm. It's more sort of, you know, a way of mapping people. So there must be some other things, and things that, again, go beyond race and income alone, that are clustered geographically. This could have something to do with sort of lifestyle issue, or the way that as a society and as a public health system, we deliver interventions to people, whether it's healthcare interventions or whether it's the sort of, you know, if you want to call it risk factor interventions, things that can affect their lifestyle and things that can affect their blood pressure and cholesterol and so on. So those things must be clustered geographically.
Wouldn't
help
yeah.
it or unless they sort of are offered these interventions at the new place.
Mm-hmm. And these differences have been pretty consistent over the last 20 years.
These differences have been very consistent in the past 20 years. Things on average have gotten better in the U.S., and they have gotten better for most groups, but the difference between them hasn't gotten better. Now, there are some groups that things have been pretty much stagnating. So as an example of that, you can take the white women, the low-income white women who live in Appalachia. In the past 20 years, their life expectancy has actually even gone down by a small amount. So the worst off are definitely not catching up with the best off.
Uh-huh. And we should then not expect them to change any in the near future.
Well, unless we make them change. I mean, I think, again, the sort of diseases that seem to be count for a lot of these large inequalities and disparities are diseases that we are really well at preventing through mm-hmm. various interventions. So smoking in this country has gone down over the past few decades. For a couple of decades, blood pressure in the country on average went down. Cholesterol seems to be going down on average. Alcohol consumption patterns arguably have become less harmful in terms of binge drinking or leading to road traffic accidents. But it seems that the interventions that have worked for the country as a whole, on average, they are not reaching the people that need them. So for the picture to change, we actually have to deliver the interventions to the people who most need them.
Could you measure things, the growing influence of obesity and type 2 diabetes that comes with it?
Well, we are actually working on that right now to take these risk factors against things like tobacco, alcohol, obesity, blood pressure, cholesterol, and so on, and actually look at those in these eight Americas and look at their influence. So that's work that sort of, will go on for a while longer. But at this point, we are more hypothesizing that these are the underlying causes, again, because of the type of diseases that we see are much more common among one group versus the other.
And one final question, are these differences in life expectancy comparable to differences between people in poor countries and developed countries?
Absolutely. So if you look at, America 1, the group that we call the Asians, and America 8, the worst off, which is blacks in inner cities, it is as if we are comparing Japan or Iceland's countries with the highest life expectancies for men and women in the world with some of the middle-income and low countries like Nicaragua, like Lebanon, like Haiti, like Belarus. So certainly a wide gap. The gap becomes even bigger when we get to a sort of to young and middle ages. So in that case, it looks as if you're comparing countries like Japan and United Kingdom with some of the low-income countries in sub-Saharan Africa.
Dr. Zadi, I've got to go. Thank you very much, Manju Dzadi, for taking time to talk with us.
Thanks.